Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to another episode or program about Fatima. Although we are not speaking about Fatima at the moment, we are speaking about Lourdes. But of course, even on the course of this conversation, you will see me making comparisons with Fatima. We try to understand now Lourdes as we understood Guadalupe, but always making references with Fatima, and then it will come one time that we will only speak about Fatima. We left the last time our speaking about this apparition in 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, this apparition of Our Lady in Lourdes, and we left at the 909th apparition, the nine times she appeared, Our Lady appeared there, and it was one of the most important apparitions, the discovery of the ex libris of Lourdes, which is that spring of water, the water that you can drink when you go to Lourdes. You can bath in that water and you can bring some water home. That water is the ex libris. It itself represents Lourdes and the meaning of Lourdes as Jesus through his mother operating miracles. These waters reminds us the water of baptism, and the water of baptism saves. Remember yesterday the first reading about the waters that the second reading was about the flood and how Noah was saved from the waters. So the waters of Jordan and the baptism of Jesus and the baptism of John, and this water is also very important in Lourdes. Many people have found healing in these waters, either bathing on them or drinking these waters. Well, the spring was discovered by Bernadette, was discovered or uncovered by Bernadette by digging in the ground, and then she drank that muddy water and she became, all her face became muddy, and she ate the bitter herbs that were growing there, and so the water didn't flow at that same very same day, but the following day it started to flow. To this day, it's flowing, those waters that are that signify and meaning Jesus as our healer, waters where that they can heal you if you have faith. So the waters do nothing without your faith. And so we see this Bernadette doing these acts. There were people there that didn't like, you know, see Bernadette in trance. If you see somebody in trance in the gospel times, somebody in trance, you know, the eyes go up and maybe trembling a bit and aloof, completely unaware of what's going on around them. Well, if you see somebody in trance at that time of the gospel, people would think that person is possessed by the devil. And of course, at this time, even in 19th century, people would not think that the person is possessed by the devil, but they would think that the person is mad. It's wrong. There is something wrong with that person. And probably people didn't like that. But Bernadette, there were some acts that Bernadette, as soon as she goes there, and look, she goes there being called by our Blessed Mother, because the apparitions in Lourdes, they are not like those of Fatima. Those of Fatima, our Blessed Mother appears always on the 13th, except one day, that is the 13th of August, because the three kids were taken to prison. But the people gathered them, they didn't know that the kids were taken to prison. The people were gathered them, and the signs which I spoke to you about, the signs that you could see, like the lowering of the temperature and the sun gets a bit darker, covered probably by the clouds, and some wind and some light from the east. Those things appeared also on the 13th of August. They start to appear, but then they noticed the Virgin didn't come because the little shepherds were not in the place waiting for her. It was a date. They had a date. And the Virgin, so I'm telling you, the Virgin appeared in Fatima always on the 13th at midday. Always, always. That's how midday is the hour of our Blessed Mother, is when we should recite the Angelus, the midday. And I will always remember my dad when we were working in the fields. At midday, the bell rings in the tower of the church. Everybody stops. Everybody stops doing what they are doing. And they make the sign of the cross. And we all pray. And I remember my then, after the prayer, he would say, good afternoon. Because after midday, it is good afternoon. So that will always remain with me. Because midday is, for us Portuguese, is a sacred time, because our Blessed Mother appeared in Portugal always at midday. And very punctual. Maybe she was English, because she was always very punctual. She never appeared late or before 12 o'clock midday. So we hear the difference is that Bernadette doesn't know which days. She was told to come there 15 times, but sometimes she doesn't feel the call and she doesn't go. She only goes when she feels the call. And the hour could even be at 5 in the morning. As a matter of fact, once of the apparitions was at 5 in the morning. So you see, there are things in common between all the apparitions, but not everything is in common. Now, the other thing that is interesting about this Bernadette, so I already spoke to you about the trance, the way she positioned the eyes, and being complete aloof and unaware what is happening around her, so aloof, so unaware, that one of the miracles of Lourdes, which I will tell you in one of these last apparitions, unaware of what was happening, and the doctor was there, was there that saw it, that he is a testimony, and he wrote about it. Bernadette had her hand over the flame of a candle for a while, over the flame of a candle. And when the apparition stopped, their hand was intact. Nothing. Not the smoke that was not burned, because if for a while you have your hand over the flame of a candle, certainly you get burned, but very, very, very burned. And even your hand after two or three minutes gets lightened up by itself, the flesh burning. Well, that didn't happen with Bernadette, interestingly, and this is another miracle, but is not the first miracle of Lourdes. So the prophets have what we call play acts. What some people would be, she is mad because she was doing certain things that people didn't like. She was covering her face with mud. She was drinking muddy water. She was eating bitter herbs. And bitter herbs, you can connect them with Passover meal when the people of Israel eat bitter herbs. They dip them in salty water to remind them the passage of the Red Sea. So this is to remind people what she's doing are acts of penance. Instead of telling people do penance, she does penance, and then people are reminded that they should do penance too. So I see these acts on the line of playing acts, of the playing acts of the prophets. The prophets were doing things that would look stupid for some people, would look like the prophet is mad for many people, but there was a message in those, there was always a message in those play acts. And people might forget a message that comes by means of words, because words, as we say in Portuguese, the wind takes them away. Words are sound bits. They are waves. They are waves of wind and waves of sound waves. But they get lost in the atmosphere, and people easily forget them. But play acts, they are not easily forgotten. I shall tell you more about the play acts, and how also Jesus did some of these. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We were saying about play acts, those things that the prophets were doing. They are like audiovisuals. We have always heard that an image is worthy 100 or 1,000 words. And the prophets already knew that. And also Jesus knew that, and Jesus was seen as a prophet. So let me tell you about some play acts that the prophets did. Prophet Joel, he married a prostitute. Why would he marry the prostitute? Knowingly that the prostitute would be unfaithful to him. Well, just to tell the people that the people were prostituting themselves with other idols because they were married to God, because God was there. They had an alliance, and the marriage is always an alliance. They had an alliance with God, but they were not faithful. God was faithful, as Joel was faithful to his wife, but the wife was not faithful to him. And God is always faithful because he loves us unconditionally, and we are many times unfaithful to him. So to tell the people in a way that the people would not forget easily, it's this. So a play act involves the whole body of the prophet, and sometimes the whole life of the prophet. So the whole life of the prophet becomes a teaching aid so that his message goes by, his message is understood. There were other... Isaiah was, an inner voice told him to go to the streets, to go naked. And another time, he was taking the what the ox have above their, I'm missing the word now, what the ox have above their necks, and he was having one of those in wood, but somebody didn't like what that meaning had. That meaning is that to tell the people of Israel that they would be, their freedom was about to end. They would be slaves, they would be taken as slaves to Babylon. And of course people don't like to hear that, and somebody came and broke that thing, and the following day Isaiah got another one made of iron, and now break this one. You see, so these are the play acts of the prophets, and Jesus also did some play acts. The one that when you went to the temple and overturned the changers' tables and all everything, and he cried out, "My house is not a house for business, is a place for prayer, not a place for business." So he cleansed the temple to show to us that, we are temple of God, and we should be clean. We should clean our temple that is full of stupid things, full of impure things. And another play act, and for me the most important one, is when he washes disciples' feet. When he washed his disciples' feet, that was a very strong message. You see, it's an audiovisual. He had told them in other occasions, "I am in your midst as the one who serves. I came to serve, not to be served." But, you know, these are words, and they would usually, they very, and words can be interpreted in so many ways, and they could be easily forgotten. As you know, the Gospel of St. John says that many things Jesus did and said, there were no books to contain all those words and acts of Jesus. So that means many were forgotten. As a matter of fact, we have a, We have in the gospel a proof of that, in the very same gospel a proof of that, when Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! And you, Capernaum, do you think that you go up to heaven, to hell? Will you go?" Well, we know that Jesus performed many miracles in Capernaum. It became his second home, the house of Peter. And we know also that he performed some miracles in Bethsaida. It was the village where people came from. But we never heard of any miracle performed or any teaching done in Chorazin. But he must have done a lot, because he mentioned these three villages, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. So just to show that many things Jesus did, and he probably knew beforehand that many of these would be forgotten. But this teaching about service, no, that cannot be forgotten. So, for service and certain other things, he did play acts. And this play act was to wash the disciples' feet. Of course, that scandalized them, and Peter would not let his feet be washed. That was a scandal for him. "You are the Master, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God. Why should you wash my feet, my dirty feet?" You know, that was not a ritual. It is a ritual that we do in churches in Holy Thursday. But the first time Jesus did it was not a ritual. The feet were really dirty, and he washed them. So just to say that these play acts are important, and what Bernadette was doing, because these apparitions of our Blessed Mother, they are all prophetic. What I told you already, that the three secrets of Fatima, they are three prophecies, which we will be speaking about them at length. And there was also secrets in the apparition of Lourdes, as I told you, but those we don't know, they remain secrets. They were probably our Blessed Mother told Lourdes things about herself, like the prayer for her to be used, like at the end, our Blessed Mother tells things to Lucia to keep going, and did, because she would remain alone. For Lucia, losing her dad and their mother was not a big deal, but a big deal was losing Francisco and Jacinta. She cried to the Blessed Mother, I will be left alone on earth, and that was terrible for her. So here we have these play acts, and then we go for the twelfth appearance. We have a first miracle there, and the first miracle is accomplished by Catherine Latapi, baby. It was paralyzed in one arm, and she bathed the arm with that water, and cure was recognized, and she became cured. And then we go for the 13th apparition. This is an important apparition because it is when our Blessed Mother has a message to the priests. And the message to the priests is two things. Tell the priests to come and to build a church here and to make processions to this church. Now, this church and processions. The church, of course, is from Greek chiesa, from Greek ecclesia. I mean, chiesa is Italian, from Greek ecclesia. Ecclesia in Greek means the assembly of the people. So where the people gather in my name, When two or three, not one, because one is not a community, where two or three gather in my name, I will be in their midst. So when people gather in the name of, when Christians gather in the name of Jesus, wherever they gather, that becomes the church, because the name church doesn't relate to a building. It relates to people. As a matter of fact, Jesus told that we are temples ourselves, and he said, don't worship God here in the mount, in the Gerasim mountain, in Samaria, or in Jerusalem temple. Worship it in your own temple, inside of yourself, in spirit, in truth, because as St. Paul says later, you are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So the temple is not important. As a matter of fact, in the first centuries of the church, there were no temples. The temples were the houses of people. The communities were small, so the people would gather in those houses to pray. Now, the thing is, now the community is big now, and the houses of people are not enough for a big community, so that's where the temples were created, big venues where a big community gathers, and they gather in the name of Jesus. But if they gather somewhere else, for that time of the gathering, that becomes the church. But the temple, but the church needs a place where they gather regularly to celebrate the day of the Lord, that is Sunday, and that is the temple. And around the temple and in all villages, the temple, the church, is always at the center of the village, and all the houses are built around that. Now, the other important thing, at least in the Latin tradition, Latin Europe tradition, that means south of Europe, south of France, Portugal, Spain, and Italy, especially, big processions, big, huge processions we do, because it is a manifestation of faith. You should manifest your faith. That's why Jesus told us, you are the light of the world, and the light is not to be put under a bushel, a light is to be seen. So you shouldn't be afraid, and you shouldn't be ashamed, because if you are ashamed of Jesus, Jesus will be ashamed of you in front of his Father. So our faith is to be manifested publicly. It's a kind of martyrdom, not a big deal, not a big one, but it's important to manifest. You know, you have the gay parade. Why shouldn't we have Christian parades? And the processions are Christian parades, and they are very much in our tradition, and we should always keep them, and never let go of them. Go to the streets, bring your posters, bring the saints out of the church, and process to show other people that we believe in Jesus, our Savior.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.